And I'm probably not going the route you think I'm going to go. I will a little bit, but I want to lift the thought out of this chapter tonight, and I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts through it. I sat in there thinking while our dear brother was singing, a man that can't preach after that singing ought to turn his license in. That was great, brother. That's one of my favorite songs. Amen. And I enjoyed that good song tonight. And so good to be back with you in service tonight. And I have enjoyed today. How about y'all? I really have. I've enjoyed today. I enjoyed the good service this morning, good preaching this morning, and everything the Lord done. I enjoyed that. Then the good fellowship. I enjoyed that down around the table. And if you want to find out what a servant is, look at this brother right here on the front row.
Amen.
Some of y'all didn't hear that, so I'll rewind and say it again. If you really want to see what a servant is, come right here and check this guy out right here. That's right, amen. I appreciate him. I do. I realize his church is what it is today because of his leadership. And I appreciate it from the depths of my heart. I'm in a different church just about every week. And I preach a lot of mission conferences. New missionaries know what I'm talking about. It's not like this everywhere you go. Some churches treat missionaries like they're red-headed stepchild or something. Are you listening? That's right. Amen. And I appreciate you. Preacher, I appreciate you. I mean that. I appreciate this church and I appreciate what the Lord's doing. Didn't that good food today? Wasn't that good?
Amen.
Amen. And I think we may have some tonight. And so I enjoyed that today. I sure did. And you know what I know? After almost 40 years of pastoring, running youth camps, mission conferences, camp meetings and all that stuff, you don't just snap your finger and that food's down there.
Right.
Somebody's got to work, amen. I'll guarantee you, there's some ladies worked late last night, got up probably before daylight this morning. And I want to say, God bless you. Thank you so very much. And it's my honor to be here. You know what I feel like? I feel like a cross-cut saw in a chainsaw convention. Brother Whittemore and myself and the brother that just sung and this brother and Brother Harvey's the only one knows what I'm talking about. You know what a cross-cut saw is. And I mean that. Man, that preaching today was great. And I sat back there all day while y'all was preaching. I said to myself, what am I doing here? But I tell you what I'm going to do for about 15 minutes, 20. And I'm going to give it my best. Amen. And hey, if you're here tonight and you've not got a faith promise card and you come to Ridgeview Baptist Church, raise your hand. If you come to church here and you don't have a faith promise card, raise your hand. You got it? He don't. He wants one too. Hey, we pass these out back here. Listen, everybody don't have a faith promise card, raise your hand. And let me give you more than that, brother. All right. Anybody else? I may not get enough. I love giving them out the first time. And I do that is because I want you to pray during the week and ask God what is it He wants to do through your life this year again in missions. And so you hang on to that. And God's going to use that and God's going to use you to further the mission program of this church to reach a world with the gospel. And I appreciate it tonight. I really do. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Would you stand as I read tonight? And I will be conscious of the time. I promise I will. But I want to share a thought with you out of this chapter tonight. I wrote this down the other day. Last week, I was preaching a mission conference in North Carolina. And I wrote this down. It's almost overwhelming. When you look at the world and the situation of the world and the need of the world, it just about blows my mind. Somebody's already said today there's almost 8 billion people on planet Earth. And two-thirds of them, somebody said today, has not heard the gospel not even one time. That blows my mind tonight when I think about that this evening. 195 countries around the world. 95% of our missionaries are in 5% of those countries. Are you hearing me tonight? That's overwhelming when I think about it tonight. I think about the 7,100 different languages they are in the world today, and 41,000 different dialects. And the majority of them don't have one page of the Word of God. That blows my mind tonight. We're doing good, but I promise you we're not doing all what we need to do.
Right.
And when I look at all that tonight, and I found this out last week. 6,000 churches every year in the United States shutting their doors. 6,000, more than 6,000. shutting the doors and just going out of business. And that's overwhelming when I think about it. I think about what old Andrew said when he's feeding them 5,000, you know, John 6. Andrew made this statement. There's a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And when I look at the situation tonight, I say, man, from a human standpoint, it's impossible. But I'm glad we're not operating from human standpoint. I'm glad, thank God, there's a God in heaven tonight that's interested in a world that's going to hell tonight. Notice in 2 Corinthians, you know these verses, you can quote them. Notice in verse number 8. Look, go back to verse number 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And I'll deal a whole lot with this Sunday morning during Sunday school. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudging and on necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Can I say something to Payson? That don't have one thing to do with tithing. It got quiet, didn't it? That doesn't have what? Hey, tithing is not whether you purpose in your heart or don't purpose in your heart. Tithing is a concrete doctrine that's taught in the Word of God. It's never changed. Notice the next verse. How but God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'll help us tonight. I realize tonight you know my need better than I do myself. I pray the Holy Ghost, God, will take the Word of God and do that work tonight. Lord, we're just talking about how overwhelming the work of God is. I realize where I'm standing tonight, Lord, that how there's no way I can do it by myself. So I pray the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and work mightily in our hearts tonight. And stir us up, meet every need tonight. I pray you'll challenge our hearts tonight and work in our life. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for sitting. You can be seated. I'm interested in one statement that's found in verse number 8. And God is, help me. I'll say to you tonight, I'm glad, thank God, God is able this evening. You see, faith promise tonight doesn't depend on my ability. Faith promise tonight doesn't depend on how much you make. Faith promise tonight doesn't depend on how much you have in your checking account. But faith promise tonight depends on the ability of God. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Hear me tonight. And I'll just say this and I'll say it again before I get done. God's not broke. God's not strained. Hey, he's God. He's able. Whatever the need is tonight. And I'll say to you as a church tonight, God is able. Man, where you've come from the last several years and where you're at tonight, the same God that brought you from back there to here, it's the same God that will take you further on. Amen. Hey, listen to me tonight. God is able this evening. Amen. Can I tell you something tonight? That's not bragging. That's just facts. I'll say, God is able tonight. You'll say, preacher, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand who I'm preaching about. I tell you tonight, thank God, God is able this evening. Has it ever dawned on you God can't fail? If y'all don't liven up, I'm going to preach to 10. Has it ever dawned on you God can't fail? I'll say it tonight, God is able this evening. I might not be able, but God's able. You may not be able, but God's able. The church may not be able, but God's able. The mission board may not be able, but God is able. Hey, the Baptist might not be able, but God is able. Oh, brother, listen to me this evening. God has been able in the past. Yeah. My dad preached 55 years, pastored churches. Been in heaven now many, many years. And God was able in the past. I wish I had time to tell you about him leaving the Primitive Baptist Association in 1960 and 61 and joining an independent Baptist church. Amen. He's ordained in the Primitive Baptist church. And in the early 60s, he had to preach it on. Tithing and going into all the world and preach the gospel. It wasn't long he was an evangelist. They ran him off. Are you listening to me? And he went and joined an independent Bible preaching church. And boy, we learn about faith. Listen to me now. I know God's been able in the past. But I want to say, these 50 years of being saved, he's been able in the present. And my grandchildren that's come along and great-grandchildren that's come along, I'm saying, thank God he's able in the future tonight. I just want to shout it out and let you know something tonight. God is able this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is able. I'll say it again. God cannot fail. He's never one time failed. Are you listening? And I'll say to you tonight, hey, God's able this evening. Faith is not believing God can. Faith is believing God will. Oh, yes, sir. And I'll say to you tonight, quickly this evening, God is able tonight. Whatever the situation may be, God is able tonight. You say, well, Brother Walker, you don't understand what's happened in my family's life this year. You don't understand what's happened since last year we filled out faith promise cards. I know I don't know. And your preacher don't know. But I know who does know. Yeah. And I'll say to you tonight, God is able this evening. It doesn't matter what you've got tonight, what you need tonight. Hey, the God of the Bible is able this evening. Notice in verse number 8 before I get to my thought. Bible said in verse number 8, and I like this verse. Bible said in verse 8, and God is able to make all, and by the way, that word able is a good word. It's found 210 times in the Bible. And I'll tell you, he's able to save. Thank God he's able to keep. Thank God he's able to supply. I feel the big preacher coming. Y'all hearing me preach tonight? I'm telling you this evening, God is able this evening. That word able tonight simply means tonight. It means powerful. It means mighty. It means strong. And I'll tell you, the God of the Bible this evening is that kind of God. He's interested in a world that's going to hell. And I'll tell you something tonight. Thank God he's able to meet the need in your life that the world may be reached for the glory of God. I never thought about what you said this morning the way you said that. If everybody in the church tithe, and by the way, I don't need to preach on that, do I? We ain't got no robbers in here, have we? Hey, by the way, faith promise is above the tithe. I'll say more about that before the week's over. But here's what I started to say to you tonight. It's above every bit of that tonight. And I'll say this to you tonight. God is able this evening. It doesn't matter what the situation may be. I never thought about what you said this morning. You said that. If everybody in the church tithe, the world would still go to hell because you wouldn't be able to reach them. I'm not against budget given to missions. But why would you limit the budget? Why would you limit to that? Hello. Are you hearing me? Oh, hear me tonight. Listen, don't limit God to just that. When I left my second church, two churches back, that church was giving about $750 a day, 365 days a year to missions. And I'll tell you tonight, listen to me. God is able tonight. I'm not just preaching. I'm telling you tonight. I know. I thank God from experience tonight. God is able this evening. He says in the verse here, and God is able, that simply means mighty. That means powerful. That means strong tonight. Now begin to study that word. And that's the same Hebrew word in the Old Testament found in Genesis 1:1. Elohim, God. Are you listening to me? In the beginning, Elohim. In the beginning, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And by the way, when you have a JW to come to your house, before you run them off, do this. Get them to read you out of their world translation, Genesis 1:1. And when they say God created heaven and earth, ask them, do they believe? Ask them if they believe that their Bible is translated from Hebrew and Greek. If they got any sense, they're going to tell you, yeah. But when they say that, tell them what that word is. Y'all ain't getting what I'm preaching. He's Jehovah. He's God. He's the Lord. Listen to me tonight. He's able, thank God. He's able this evening. I thought about this today when I said about this. Bible said in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6, I am the Lord and I change not. That's the same one that Moses stood before one day. And Moses said, Lord, who am I going to tell? The Pharaoh who sent me down there. And the Lord said, Moses, you just tell Pharaoh that I am. That's an eternal self-existing God. That depends on nobody for nothing. He's a big God this evening. God's able tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Missions and faith promise tonight is not dependent on what you can do. You sit down and, I'm going to preach in a minute, you sit down and take a calculator and try to figure that thing out. You try to program God in your calculator and He'll blow it up. It don't calculate. It don't work. My wife this year, we had evangelism and also some missions. And this year, was getting ready to file our taxes here in a few days. And we went back and looked last year and what was that and what happened. She said, I can't believe it. I said, don't try to figure it out. Just enjoy it. Hey, thank God God's able tonight. I want to give you two things out of the text. Now, I'm going to leave the text, but I'll come back before I get done. Number one, I'll say, first of all, God is able in all trials. You ever had a trial? God's able in all trials. A trial is a bump in the road. A trial is a problem. Flip back one page and I'll deal with this Sunday. But look at this verse. Paul said in chapter 8 and verse number 1. He said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or witness how the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Y'all know this, but let me preach it to you. Paul is using those churches as an example to those Corinthians that had promised an offering a year before. They had not followed through with their offering. And Paul said, look at the Macedonians. Look at them. They are an example. Look at the Macedonians. Notice their condition in verse 2. How that in a great, help me, trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded on the riches of their liberality or their liberal giving. They was going through hard times. They was going through troubled times. They was going through tough times. But you know what God does? God used the churches of Macedonia. Yeah.
Right.
Church of Philippi. Those Berean Christians. And all down through there, those churches in the region of Macedonia. God used those churches. Though they were going through trials. Though they were going through hard times. I want to tell you tonight, listen to me tonight. God's able in all trials. Yeah. You say, preacher, I'm going through a hard time. Guess what? Guess who's working behind the scenes? Guess who knows all about that tonight? Guess who knows more about that than you do? Huh? God's able on all trials tonight. And again, when you study about this, and I'll deal with this Sunday morning more during Sunday school, but when you study about those Macedonian churches, listen to me, they were in deep poverty. They didn't have enough money to pay attention. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Deep poverty. Study what them words mean. I'll tell you Sunday if you're here. But I will tell you tonight, God's able in all trials tonight. It doesn't matter about how the situation you're in. I want to say God's able in all trials tonight.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, you just don't understand. Let me tell you one more time. God can take the worst situation. Trials. That little lady in my church, when I was at Turner's Creek, that church I just got done telling you about. When I went there, she started coming to church and I think she had 8 children. And I've seen a lot of them get saved. Personally, led some of them to Christ myself. Baptized them. But her husband would never come to church. Never did come to church. If you ever come one time, I don't remember my 16 years of being there. And in 1988, when we started our Faith Promise missions, that little lady got a hold of Faith Promise. And I've never looked on the card. Of course, there's no place for a name. I'll say more about that Sunday. I have never looked at tithing records. I have never looked at giving records as a pastor. I want perfect liberty to preach.
Yeah.
So
I've never done that. But this little lady I'm telling you about, she had 8 children. Most of your garages are a whole lot nicer than her house. And she got a hold of faith promise. And she did 2 things. She cleaned my eye doctor, who I go to the eye doctor. She cleaned his office once or twice a week. And she had 1 house that she cleaned a week. And I've been sitting in my office on either late Sunday night or a Monday morning. Secretary's office was in here. And I'd hear him say something like this: "She done it again. She done it again. She done it again." I had folk in my church that made more than 6 figures a year. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? And God used that little lady to give more to faith promise. I'm about to shout. Are y'all hearing me? To give more to faith promise than anybody else in my church. Now, I didn't check that out. The secretary just told me that. And I'll tell you tonight, she was going through trials, buddy. But I got good news tonight. Hey, in spite of the trials tonight, God is able in all trials tonight.
Amen.
I'm not done with that. Let me get you the second thing quickly. Not only God's able in all trials, but I'll say number 2 tonight, God's able in all tests.
Yeah.
Test. You remember Genesis chapter 22, and I love it. God speaks to Abraham, by the way. Man, I enjoyed preaching on that Tuesday night. You want to talk about faith. Man, I enjoyed preaching on that Tuesday night. But anyhow, Genesis 22, God speaks to Abraham. It took him 100 years to get a son. Abraham's 100, she's 90. And after Isaac's born, probably 30-some years old, God speaks to Abraham's heart and says, take Isaac, thy son, thy only son. That's who the seed line's coming through. Thy only son upon the mountain I'm going to show thee. And in Genesis 22 and verse number 1, it said in that God did tempt Abraham. Now you Bible scholars know all about that word tempt. It's the same word that we get our word test from. And God, you say, well, did God not know what Abraham was going to do? God knew exactly what Abraham would do. But he wanted Abraham to see what Abraham's going to do. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? God did tempt him. God did test him. Listen to me. The devil tempts us to bring us down. God tests us to bring us up. Hey, are you hearing me? Listen to me tonight. Hey, God's able to all test tonight. I love tests. I went to school between Malachi and Matthew in the dark days. I love tests. Man, I'm old. Brother Whittemore and I are so old. When we order 3-minute eggs, they make us pay for them up front. Listen, this is what I'm getting ready to say to you tonight. God's able in all tests. When I was going to school, I'd take the same test 4 or 5 times. I enjoyed them. Are y'all hearing me? I remember several years ago, I've had a motorcycle for years. I don't have one now. I had one several years, but I used to ride them all the time. Rode through here a motorcycle. I love riding them. I don't have one now. I got grandbabies and great-grandbabies and children that says, Papa, I don't need a motorcycle. I don't know why they say that, but I don't have one. But anyhow, remember, a few years back, they come out with this thing. You had to get the motorcycle endorsement. Are y'all with me tonight? You have to go to the license place and get a motorcycle endorsement. If you ride a motorcycle without the endorsement, it's just like driving without license. And so that is the dumbest test I have ever took in my life. My boy, he was getting ready to go get his. And I told him, I said, John, you need to get him. You're going to get in trouble. So he went over and took the test, and guess what happened? He failed the test. And he come back and I laughed at him. I said, you didn't fail. You failed. He said, I failed it, Daddy. He went back a second time. Guess what happened? He failed it again. Well, I didn't tell him, but Daddy's going to go over and take the test. And when I went over and took it, I had a -0. It was awful. I took it the second time, done the same thing yet. I looked at that license man, I said, that is the dumbest test I've ever seen in my life. And said, preacher, we'll agree with you because we failed it too. And I went back the third time to get that endorsement. And I think they lied, but they give it to me. Are you listening? Here's what I did not do. I didn't tell my boy I failed the test. And if you tell him, I won't like you no more. Hear me tonight. God is able to test tonight. God did tempt Abraham, said, Abraham, Abraham, take now thy son. Listen to me tonight. He's not only able in all trials, but thank God, he's able in all tests tonight. Of those tests that you may be going through, God's able this evening. I was in Vicksburg, Germany, preaching. And I had this man in the military, and I love preaching to military people. He surrendered, called a priest there in Germany. And he was getting ready to get out and said, I want to come to the States to go to Bible college. I want to be near y'all. I want to be close to y'all. And I said, okay. Calvary Baptist right in my back door. Brother Baker was a pastor there during them days. And so he goes to Calvary Baptist at Bible college. And I'm over there preaching Dr. Baker's mission conference several years ago. And on Saturday night during that conference, we was having the international supper, and that brother come up to me. He had a wife, had some children about the size of your children. And he come up to me and looked at me and said, preach on, ask your question. I said, what's that? He said, if my wife and I, she's sitting there with tears in her eyes. If my wife and I give what we feel God has put in our heart to pay promise of other tithe, we're not going to have no money to buy groceries. What should I do? You're looking at a papa. I looked down at them youngins. I looked up at him and her. She's standing there crying. I said, my brother, if God put that in your heart, and there's no doubt in your mind about God putting that in your heart, I'd highly recommend you obey God. Amen. And he did. Several months later, I was back in the college preaching a chapel service. During the chapel service that morning, the brother come up to me and said, don't leave. I want to see you after service. We got out in the hall and he come up to me and he said, you remember a few months ago when you was here preaching the car? I said, yes, sir. He said, I just want to tell you something this morning. We got plenty of food. Our bills are paid. How God hadn't let me, I'm about to shout, buddy. God hadn't let me down one time. I'm trying to tell you something tonight. God's able in all tests tonight. It doesn't matter what you may be going through. God's able in all trials tonight. God is, it depends on God, not us. Faith is not seeing.
That's right.
Faith is believing. The faith that can't be tested is the faith that can't be trusted. Yeah. Are y'all hearing me? Number three, real quick. I want to say God's able in all trials. God's able in all tests. But can I say quickly tonight before I go back to my text? God's able in all times. Amen. All times. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You say, preacher, times are hard. Well, I know that. But I'll tell you something tonight. God's able in all times tonight. You say, it's a tough day, but God's able in all times. God is not limited by time. God is not limited by situation. God is not limited by what you're going through. God's able in all times tonight. I want somebody to help me with this. I want somebody to help me with this. I love the book of Ruth.
Yes, sir.
Give me that book. I love the book of Ruth. My favorite book of the Old Testament is the book of Ruth. About 10 years ago, God let me write this book on the book of Ruth. It's called The Story of Grace. 168 pages about the book of Ruth. It's a good interpretation, but it's also a good application. I studied the book of Ruth ins and outs. And as a question, I still don't have an answer in my mind about the book of Ruth. In Ruth chapter 1, get this. I'm talking about God's able in all, what's the point? Times. In Ruth chapter number 1, Elimelech looks at Naomi and says, there's a famine in the land. We got to leave. There's a famine in the land. And he gets his wife and their two sons and go off to the land of Moab. Hear me tonight. And they stay there, or she stays there 10 years. As soon as they get down there, shortly after they get there, Elimelech kicks a bucket. If you folk don't understand that, he died. Then his two sons married two heathen girls, Mahlon and Chilion, married Ruth and Orpha. And she stayed there 10 years. After he died, after her sons died, she stays there 10 years. And boy, she heard there was bread in Bethlehem. And she turned to come out of Moab, and as she turned to come out, you know Ruth chapter number 1. Ruth said, whither thou goest, I go. Whither thou lodgest, I lodge. Thy God shall be my God. You know the story. And she came out. And Orpha was coming out also. But as they was coming out, Orpha turned and went back. You know what I heard a crazy hyper feller say about that? She couldn't come out. She wasn't predestinated to come out. That's about as dumb as a sack of doorknobs. Are y'all hearing me? She had the same choice that Ruth had. I'm like Brother Blue about that. If I had 1 ounce of Calvinistic blood in my veins, I'd cut my veins and let it run out. But here's my point. They come back to Bethlehem, and when they come back, the Bible said the city was moved about. Oh, man. Boy, 10 years out of the will of God mess you up. And that she comes back, and when she comes back, the city was moved about. She said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty have dealt bitterly with me." And notice the next verse, and here's what it said. I went out. My question to you tonight is, why did they leave? Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? God's able in all times. You say there's a famine. Yeah, but there's a God. Hey, man, are you hearing me? Hey, I want to tell you, He's able in all times. He's able in all times. That's my new book, The Creepy Crawlers in the Church. You need to get that. Them old apostates. But listen to me. He's able in all times tonight. And I don't know what kind of situation you're going through tonight, but I'll tell you tonight, God's able at all times tonight. Amen. Praise God. He's able in all trials. He's able in all times. He's able this afternoon in all tests. But come back to my text. I'm closing. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says in verse 8, watch this verse. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have in all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Notice one word in that verse. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have in all sufficiency in all what? He's able in all things. Hello. Hear me tonight. He's able in all things tonight. It doesn't matter what the situation may be. God is able in all things tonight. All things tonight. I never will forget when God put it in my heart. I've never called a preacher and asked for a meeting. I was a North American field director for Macedonia World Baptist Missions for years and years and years, and had to raise support. But I never called a preacher. You've got to call preachers, missionary. Don't take that the wrong way. You've got to call preachers. But God, all them years of preaching meetings, God give me my support. Yeah. And I appreciate Him doing that. My pastor wrote a letter, Dr. Wade wrote a letter, and I put my letter in with it. And out of that one letter, God gave me 50% of my support. And then as I was preaching mission conferences, I'll come out. I never called a preacher. So a couple of years ago, when God really put in my heart about resigning the church while I was pastoring, I had a great church. God was so good to me while I pastored. God let me pastor some good churches. And this last church, great church. Man, they're good. They was good to my wife and I. We didn't have one need that they didn't supply. They furnished me a home. I lived in their house. For the most part, I drove their vehicle. They paid. I had it made financially. When God, a couple years ago, began to work in my heart about going back into evangelism and some missions, I thought, I argued with that. I didn't argue, but I questioned it. I said, "Lord, do you realize how old I am?" He said, I'm not sure. Let me check. Are y'all hearing me? "Lord, do you realize it? I'm not as young as I was way back then when I was missionary. And Lord, do you realize that when I leave this salary, I'm not going to have any support?" And boy, I wasn't arguing with God, but I was concerned. I married a wife. Y'all didn't get that. And So I was getting ready to resign the church without any support at all. I think it was a Saturday before I was getting ready to leave. I took my wife's car down to the car wash. She has a Ford Avenue Chevrolet. And I took my wife's car down to the car wash. And was going to run through the car wash. It's dirty. And I'm standing there. There's 2 or 3 cars in front of me. And I'm standing there. And I'm waiting to get up. So when I get up to the thing where you put the money in, all of a sudden, Brother Rose, there's a guy stepped out between me, Brother Harvey, and my car, and that where you put the money in. I didn't have no idea who the man was. Never seen him before in my life. Seen him since. He said, "Sir, which one of them are you going to get?" "Well, the truth of the matter is, I was going to get the $6 one, but that ain't the one I got." And he said, "Pick out what you want." "Sir, y'all think I'm awful, don't you? I didn't get the $6 one." And I punched in. He turned around and walked off. I said, "Wait a minute, sir." I said, "I don't know you and you don't know me." I said, "Why are you doing this?" He said, "Enjoy the blessings." I said, "Well, let me give you a gospel tract." And I gave him a tract. And he said, "Are you a preacher and pastor?" I said, "I am for a few more hours." "A pastor." And he said, "Well, God bless you. Have a good day." I ain't seen that man since. That got into inside that car wash. The Holy Ghost got in there with me. And the Holy Ghost said, "What are you worrying about? What are you disturbed about? Have you ever seen a man swap seats and go shout and spell around and around and around in a Ford Edge? Hey! Are y'all hearing me preach? God's able."
Yeah, you're right there, buddy.
The next 2 days I was at home. My wife called me. And she said, "I'm coming by Wendy's. Would you like a spicy chicken sandwich?" That's a fence around the chicken graveyard. I said, "Well, sure." And she said, "Okay, I'll be there in a minute. We live about 5 minutes from Wendy's off 77. I had no more. 2 minutes later, the phone rang again. She said, "Honey, you ain't going to believe what just happened." I said, "Who did you run into?" She said, "That's not what happened." She said, "When I got up to the window to pay for our food, they wouldn't take my money and said it's already been paid." And my wife asked them who it was, and she said, "Two cars in front of you." And my wife saw that car leaving. It was a car from out of state. I have no idea who it was. Have you ever seen a man have an old-fashioned Bebcostal fit? Sent into my backyard. Holy Ghost said, "I told you, I'll take care of you. I told you." The following Monday, I'm sitting in a restaurant in Elkin, North Carolina, eating breakfast. This ain't been hearing lies, it's truth. I'm sitting in a restaurant in Elkin, North Carolina, eating breakfast. I get done eating my gravy and biscuits and ham and tenderloin and gravy and sausage and hello. And I'm getting ready to leave. A lady comes over, taps me on the shoulder. The lady that waited on me, she said, "Preacher, when you get ready to leave, just go and leave." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Somebody come up to the thing while going to pay for your meal." I said, "Who?" She said, "That woman right there is an older, gray-headed woman going out the door. I'd never seen her in my life. Look up here and hear me real good. You got into town too late to tell me that God ain't able." I preach, it's wonderful to live by faith. I'm telling you, it's absolute. I was right here in Merville preaching for Brother Tom Hatley. I have no idea. Nobody knows me in Merville, Tennessee. I'm a redneck hick from the mountains of North Carolina. Nobody knows me. I go up to pay for the meal. Lady said, "Your meal's been taken care of." And Brother Hatley went with me. This was for the meeting. I like living like that. Are y'all with me tonight? I'm trying to tell you this. God's able. Look at the verse. We're going to go eat. Look at the verse. "And God is able to make all grace abound." What's the next word? I can't hear you. How would you like for God to look in your direction? Hey! How would you like for God to look in your direction? My wife and I lived in the parsonage at Turner's Creek. My little girl, which is now 43 years old. My little girl's a pastor's wife, doing a great work. My little girl, when she's about 2 years old, when we lived in the pastorum there, Rebecca's room was next to our room. And Rebecca, every night, I wouldn't let my young'un sleep with us. Now, I've changed my mind about that. I'm a pawpaw now. I got a great grandchild. And you need to let them young'uns get in the bed with y'all and sleep, man. That's not right, depriving them young'uns of that opportunity. We're living in a different dispensation. Can I get a witness? Rebecca would cry every night. "Mama, remember, don't go to sleep without me." We went through that every night. few weeks went by and I said, Rebecca, if you say that, if you say, Mama, don't go to sleep without me one more time, I'm going to wear you out. She quit saying that. Then she said, Mama, remember? I'm going somewhere with this torch. One night it was a terrible storm. Lightning's flashing, rain's descending, winds are blowing. Rebecca's crying. She's having a fit. Mama, please let me come and get in bed with y'all. I am scared. Shut up. That went on for about 15 minutes. And it got so in our bed. You're talking about getting a cold shoulder from your wife. So I give in. And little Rebecca come running. I'm going somewhere with this. Little Rebecca come running in. Crawl up in the bed. Darker than three midnights. The only time you could see her was when it was lightning and it lighted up. She crawled up in the bed. And I don't know why she did this. She hugged up to her mama and turned her back and head to me. And here's what she said, Brother Harvey. And when it was lightning, I could see it. She'd have her hand on my wife's face like that. She'd say, Mama, are you looking towards me? How would you, man, we got to go eat. I want to preach. How would you like for God to look in your direction? God is able in all things tonight. Now unto him that is able to do the exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think, or that we ask or think. Faithful is he that have called you, who will do it. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. Listen tonight, God can't fail tonight. Sunday morning when it comes time, and I want to say tonight, you be praying now. God's able, thank God. Did I tell you how God's able? I'm done. I really am done.
If he has, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Be obedient to the Spirit of God.